Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Sherline.
Good afternoon. Today is Monday, July 30th, 2018, and you are listening to episode 2 of the Isles Faithful Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Sherline. Let's get into it. So, as you all know, a lot has happened over the last 2 months, right? We've seen people come, people go. A lot of exciting stuff happening. Today's episode, we're going to talk about the Culture Club. And I'm not talking about the Boy George-led band of the 1980s and not even the awesome club in New York City that bears the same name. That's kind of like a nerdy thing to say, I know, but I do like 80s music. I was born in the 80s. And I've actually been there a couple of times for friends' birthdays. But that's neither here nor there, right? Let's talk about the Culture Club within the New York Islanders, right? We're going to take it back a few months. Clean out day, April 9th, 2018. An unshaven and honestly disheveled-looking Garth Snow feebly addresses the media. Doug Waite, with a sour look on his face, looks on and attempts to do the same. John Ledecky reads, quite angrily, from a pre-written letter claiming that ownership and the team has let fans down, which we all know is a tremendous understatement. This is months following a billboard that was erected in Brooklyn begging for the GM to be fired. It was just an awkward and honestly pretty confusing press conference, and it turns out both Snow and Waite were lame ducks at that table back in April. We wouldn't know it at the time, obviously, but it was a pretty important day in Islanders history. Things would eventually progress pretty rapidly afterwards. Lou Lamoriello wouldn't be extended in Toronto. We would hear rumors of him attending dinner on Long Island with Islanders ownership. He would ultimately be named president of hockey operations. Would speak to John Tavares prior to him even accepting fully the job. And Islanders ownership would give him full autonomy to do whatever he would like with the New York Islanders. I'll stop the presses right there. What's this autonomy stuff that you're talking about? Garth Snow has claimed he's had autonomy, but has he ever really? You look at some of the moves that he's made over the years and some of the things that he hasn't done or could have done, the money constraints, rumors of players not really wanting to play here, which, you know, we could accept as truth at this point. Lou started doing Lou-type things right off the bat. Any kind of leaks stopped. Even the heavy hitters in the media, Arthur Staple and, you know, new to the Islanders beat for Newsday, Andrew Gross, didn't really hear anything out of them until it happened. Which is funny because I don't think when Andrew Gross left the New Jersey beat to come to the Islanders, would he ever think that he would be covering Lou Lamoriello again? I asked him this on Twitter and I never got an answer. In his defense, he doesn't really know much about me, so I didn't really expect an answer, but is what it is, right? The culture, Lou Lamoriello took it on straight ahead and in one foul swoop, really. Out with the old, right? That's what he does. Garth Snow and Doug Waite were removed as general manager and head coach in the same afternoon on June 9th. Just like that, he ripped the Band-Aid off when nobody was looking. Honestly, it felt pretty good. I've come to know both Garth Snow and Doug Waite pretty well over the years, both as players, believe it or not, prior to them becoming management and coach. Doug Waite was always a gentleman, very good to talk to. You know, and as many of the bad things you could say about Garth Snow, that man always treated me really well, always made me feel like I belonged. But what I want to see is winning. And even through my years as a season ticket holder, I never really got to see much winning. Got to see playoffs a couple of times, but nothing really to write home about, which we can all agree on, right? So, as we move forward, Lou stated he was going to hire the best coach available, And we all thought at the time it was going to be one of the existing coaches that were out there, Alain Vigneault, you know, guys of his ilk, guys who were just sitting around waiting for jobs. Nobody expected a coach who was playing for and ultimately winning the Stanley Cup to reach a contract impasse with his team, the Washington Capitals, right? I didn't. You didn't. Maybe the only people who knew were Barry Trotz. I have a funny feeling that Lou knew somehow. We've all speculated about the things that he seems to know, the things that he seems to do, and the crazy loopholes that Loophole Lou seems to be able to jump through. Ultimately, Trotz signed with the New York Islanders on June 21st. Just like that, the culture tide was changing. Lou would go and add Steve Pellegrini, formerly of the New Jersey Devils, as assistant GM. He's a cap guru. You know, you could read some articles out there that describe him as someone who seems to be able to fit magic numbers within the cap even when there doesn't seem to be any room, and that's something good to have. He would fire assistants Greg Cronin, Kelly Buchberger, and Luke Richardson, all weight guys. Curiously, he would leave the Bridgeport staff as untouched for now. You know, that's open for debate. Has Bridgeport even really had the chance to succeed with some of the prospects that we've had down there? Some of the career AHL guys that have been signed. Obviously, in the time since, they've insulated Bridgeport with key veteran guys. You know, I'm not going to go into too much depth here because I'm not all too familiar with the AHL level. I do know that they did sign quite a few players who there are people who do follow it that are excited about. So I'm going to let that go, and you know, we'll see where it progresses over the course of the year. But obviously, you know, you have Islanders prospects down there that they wanted to allow time to learn from some of the pros down there before they move up to the NHL level. And I think that's a positive thing because you have to build a core down in the AHL before, you know, you could really build a core here. So, I mean, that's all going to happen in due time. Lamoriello would then go and hire longtime Trotz assistant Lane Lambert, which we all knew was pretty much going to happen based on, you know, the history of the two of them together. The curious hire, which is not really curious, especially if you go and you read his story, it's really interesting and worth a read. John Gruden. Then they would go out and let go of goaltending coach Fred Braithwaite, which, if you follow me on Twitter, I back a couple months ago questioned, you know, if he was ultimately the cause of the goaltending struggling. He didn't have much NHL experience. He was more at like the American level and Team USA. And that doesn't necessarily mean somebody is bad if they don't have a whole heck of a lot of experience. I honestly didn't really think that he was a fit for the goaltending that we had here. However, Lamoriello would then go on and hire former Toronto Marlies coach Piero Greco, who just came off a Calder Trophy win with his team there. In the next day, and day and a half, something like that, they would hire Mitch Korn as director of goaltending. Now, Mitch Korn, obviously, we all know him as the goalie whisperer. He's done great things in Washington. And again, another coach coming off of a championship win, this time with the Washington Capitals. Again, somebody else who has followed Barry Trotz around from team to team. Now, it was speculated that Korn didn't really want to do much on-ice stuff, and that kind of makes sense when you have a guy like Greco come in. There's plenty of stuff to read up on both of them. I'm pretty impressed with the resumes. Obviously, Mitch Korn is an absolute steal. They've both worked with great goaltenders. So, I mean, you look at what we're going to do with Greiss and Lehner, and we're going to definitely do magic with them, the hope anyway is. So to summarize, every losing coach was canned, and they brought in proven winners. Even Gruden, like I said, he's won at every level he's coached so far. We have Trotz and Lambert that will install their own systems and evaluate talent. We'll have Greco who will work with Robin Lehner and Thomas Greiss, and without a doubt, work better numbers into their play. Gruden will probably work magic with the kids, or at least that's what I assume will happen. In these sweeping changes, Lou Lamoriello has installed a system of accountability, professionalism, and respect that the Islanders as an organization haven't really seen in a long time. If you think about that, that's kind of sad. But at the same time, this is a new day. I said a while ago that all of these changes was like the clouds parting. The sun coming up and peering through all the clouds. Just really positive stuff. What can they do with the roster they have? Obviously remains to be seen. You know, these things. But the things coming out of the players' mouths at this point have been nothing but positive. You got Johnny Boychuk saying it's not about one player. You have unnamed players saying that they're just going to rely on each other. Everything seems to point to the team really coming together. And that's honestly what you want. You need some sort of adversity to get teams to play up to their potential. And maybe they'll have a chip on their shoulder, which is always positive. At the very least, this all makes for exciting off-season talk. So there's that. We're going to take some Twitter questions as well. All right, so we're going to move into some Twitter questions. Back on the 25th, prior to me even really starting to record, I said I was prepping for episode 1, which would turn into episode 2. And I wanted to hear some questions, and we would read your tweets on the show, right? First one is from Chuck B44. He said, do we just give up on Sorokin, or is he ever coming over? You know, this is a huge question. I got to stop saying huge. You know, a lot of people are probably not a big fan of that word right now. But sorry, it's part of my vocabulary, I suppose. I think once his contract is up over in Russia, I will see him at some point. I know he has to buy himself out of the remaining years of his deal, and he's making really good money over there. I don't know the exact numbers. I probably should. You know, maybe as I move forward with the podcasts, I'll have better notes. I think he's making in the $2 million range, if I'm not mistaken. So he'd have to buy himself out of that contract in order for him to come here. And he would be making, you know, entry-level money in the AHL unless he signs a one-way deal with the Islanders, which I doubt would happen. So I don't see him coming over until that contract in Russia is up. Just keep an eye on it. We'll remain hopeful. If anything, it's a tradable asset. The next question is from a longtime follower in Raul Galani. Does Hosang make the lineup? Does he stay an Islander? Another great question. I think that Barry Trotz going on SiriusXM and saying that Josh is a unique talent. Same thing with Lou Lamoriello. He's a unique talent. You can't teach the things that he does on the ice. It's just a matter of him fitting in and, you know, adhering to structure, essentially, which is something, you know, we could argue the team really hasn't had a lot of. I think he will start the season down in Bridgeport. And he will get called up. He'll make a case for himself to stick in the lineup. He's too talented to just not play up to his full potential in the NHL. I do think that the new coaching will get the most out of him, and he'll be given a clean slate, like they said, and eventually we'll see him up with the big club. Raul also asks, can Trotz get the much-needed offense from Nelson and Ladd that has been severely lacking from this past season? Now, we'll start with Ladd. I honestly think that he hasn't been 100% healthy. He's also not been utilized in the ways that makes him successful. He was a third liner last season, not even used to the extent he was the year prior under Jack Capuano, and he was way more successful two seasons ago. So do I see him moving up in the lineup? I could see so. Will Barry Trotz lean on him and his leadership ability? I would hope so, provided he gets the ice time and perhaps the power play time. I would hope to see an uptick in offense out of Andrew Ladd. Now, Brock Nelson, coming off signing a one-year deal, you know, avoiding arbitration. It's a show-me deal. So, same thing. New coaching staff. Clean slate. It's going to be a chance for him to show the Islanders that he's the player they drafted. Another you know, first round draft pick that has not really panned out in the way that everyone had hoped. Now, Brock has shown glimpses of an ability to pot some goals, and it could just be a matter of the previous coaching staffs not utilizing him in the same ways as they have misused Andrew Ladd and Josh Bailey, and the list is endless. All these players maybe were slotted in incorrect spots, but now with Barry Trotz and Lane Lambert, I think we'll see good things. Next question's from Z-Man Isles. Gotta hear your forward combinations. I mean, I don't even really play NHL games on Xbox or PlayStation, so I'm 100% terrible at line combinations other than what I see. So we'll bring up the Islanders website, and without a doubt, I would slot the first line pretty much where we saw the second line last year. So I would do Bolivier and Eberle with Barzal. And, you know, I wouldn't really want to mess with the success that they had. I'd put Nelson with Bailey, and good question. Maybe Ladd? No, can't, because then we would be forgetting about Lee. We would do Lee, Bailey, and Nelson. We'll give that a shot. And you have all these other fourth liners, third liners. We would do Cizikas, Clutterbuck, and Komarov. So tough. And then we have Ladd again. So, I mean, with this logjam of players, what the heck do you do? Honestly. From a fantasy aspect, too, I would want penalty minutes. Obviously, we have a six players that'll probably earn a whole heck of a lot of penalty minutes for people. So let's go for nostalgic purposes. We'll start with the fourth line. We know what the first line is. We know pretty much what the second line is. You want to do a Cizikas, Clutter, and Martin line? And then what do you do for the third? So you'd have to do Ladd. Again, we just talked about not putting him on the third line. Ladd with Komarov and Filppula. I don't know. Jeez, such a tough one. Good question. Rich, why do you got to do this to me? And we got another question from Brosco. What are your thoughts on what, if anything, should be done in Bridgeport? Coaching, players, etc. I understand it's a big issue with development. Like I mentioned earlier, I think this is going to be a wait-and-see season for things in Bridgeport with the players that they brought, you know, in for the upcoming season. Some of the players that, you know, were drafted might get a quick look, you know. I don't even know if they're old enough to play in the AHL next season, to be honest with you. But I think we'll see that what the veterans they brought in down there will do with the kids who are there and see if their development continues or stalls. And if it stalls, obviously, then, you know, we're going to be looking at new coaches in Bridgeport. The next question's from New York Alini 311, which is Dave. What's going on, Dave? How would you slot the defenseman rotation out to take advantage of Pulak's growth? Boychuk getting a little older, keeping Letty fresh. When he got up to 30 minutes, he broke down. Includes power play and PK time, too. See, this one I actually did a little bit of research. Why couldn't I do that for everything? I'm going to keep things simple for the sake of keeping things even and balanced with what we have. So I was going to suggest a Boychuk-Pelech pairing, Letty and Hickey, and Pulak and Mayfield. Now, obviously, we have Aho and Taves as well. It's a matter of who is really going to press for the time to come up. Who will be the seventh guy? Who, you know, will there even be a seventh guy? Never really know, because, again, there's a new coaching staff. So I think Taves is the most exciting piece for this upcoming season. You know, he was having a great year up until he got hurt last year and had to sit out with surgery. He was even pressing to be a call-up towards the beginning of the season, middle of the season, prior to him going down. So I think, obviously, that'll be up to the coaching staff. And I think you could slot a bunch of the different pairings with each other. I just tried to keep play styles opposite of each other, someone who will complement. And, you know, I could be 100% wrong, but I'm just a a quarterback over here with the keyboard. The other thing I wanted to talk about was Matthew Barzal, the kid who won the Calder. A lot of people are concerned with him being a first liner and no longer being a number two center now that the number one center is no longer here. You know, he left for greener pastures, whatever. Enjoy, Pajama Boy. But I really don't see it as being an issue. I think he is the type of player who we've seen control play. Someone who he gets down below the hash marks and he has control of the puck. He's so strong and his stride is so strong. His stick handling is just ridiculous, off the charts. I think he's going to be just fine. Will he maybe fatigue a little bit more from the grind of shouldering the weight of a little more responsibility? I can see that, but by all accounts, he's someone who just is constantly working, constantly getting stronger, constantly watching video, asking questions as to how he can improve, work on his game, try to improve the negatives, and there's not a whole heck of a lot of negatives. Sometimes he maybe held on to the puck a little too long, but I think with time, he'll learn when to dish it off, when to use his teammates. And we saw as the season progressed last year, the things that he could do with the puck. It's just, like I said, it's just ridiculous. He's got moxie, he's got jam, all these different superlatives you could say. I think he's going to be fine, though. And he did play towards the end of the season, you know, extended minutes, extended power play time. He was up against top pairing defensemen, you know, first lines, checking lines. I don't really think it's going to be that big of an issue. So hopefully he doesn't go through a sophomore slump. Hopefully he continues on as strong as he's been and shoulders that weight and the responsibility like a true professional, like a true veteran. I mean, he's only going to be 20, or he's 20 now, right? So we'll see what happens. Something else to take into account with Barzal is how is he going to play under Trotz? How is he going to play under Lambert? How is he going to play under Gruden? You know, we have a Stanley Cup winning coach and assistant coach. So he's going to take him. He's going to say, you're my guy. We're going to give you creative license to do what you need to do. And if we see something that needs to be reined in, we'll bring you back. He is just a kid. So, you know, I'm still excited and I'm hopeful that this year will surprise us all. So there's that aspect of it as well. And hopefully those three will help the power play, help the penalty kill, help the goaltending, things that have plagued the Islanders for quite some time. Obviously scoring goals, not so much of an issue. Even the penalty kill at times seemed like it was okay. Obviously, the power play was a little better. It's going to be a new and exciting season with a new outlook, and we're going to hope for the best. I don't foresee them being a Stanley Cup contender. You never know what happens. You just got to get to April, see where you're at, get in the dance, they say, and then it's a new season, the second season. We'll see. And hopefully I will be continuing to do this throughout the course of the year and become a little more comfortable and not so robotic and clearly not reading things that I had pre-written, right? Oh well. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Schirlein. You can call me Mike, and this is the Isles Faithful Podcast. Thanks for listening.